Certainly, and today will be no exception, but salvation is not just a get-out-of-hell free card. Okay? When Jesus Christ comes into our life, it's not just for the purpose of paying the sin debt so that we don't have to go to hell for all eternity, that we can go to heaven, but he also changes us and begins that change to be more like himself. And that's what God is doing from the day that we get saved to the day that we die or the rapture takes place. God is trying and seeking to change us into the image of his Son, the Lord Jesus. That's his purpose with us. And we want to have that process. So when Jesus Christ came into our lives, he changed everything, at least began to change. And we'll see the end of it one day. Take your Bibles with me to Revelation 21. We'll get there momentarily. Last week, I brought a message dealing with the misunderstandings about hell. We talked about that hell's a real place with literal fire. It's a place of eternal torment for the devil and for those who reject or neglect receiving God's provision for salvation. Today, I want us to see the flip side of the coin. We've been singing about it this morning in our hymns, and that is Visions of Heaven. I've entitled the message today, Consider Heaven. And we are to consider heaven. There's a psalm that you may be familiar with. Heaven is a wonderful place filled with glory and grace. I want to see my Savior's face, for heaven is a wonderful, heaven is a marvelous place. Heaven is a wonderful place, and that is so true. Without exception, I think we would all agree that heaven is a great and marvelous and wonderful place, and that we hope one day to be in God's presence there. But I would say also that many of us do not long for heaven today like people used to long for heaven. One of the reasons is, I believe, that we have it so good in this life today. It's easy. Now, that may be difficult, some difficult things that we go through and so forth. And to be honest with you, there's some people that, you know, the older that they get and the more sickly they get, the more they think about how much they would like to have heaven as a reality right now. This past Monday, I went to Danville, for the funeral of my uncle, Morris Moran. Last Sunday, he spent his first Sunday in heaven. Often wondered, you know, what are you seeing? What are you doing? What is it like? I thought that when my dad passed and my mom and, you know, different people, we think about, what are you looking at right now? What do you see? And one day we'll know as we get there ourselves. Amen. You know, Uncle Morris told me about a year ago, he said, Randy, said, most of my brothers have passed. A lot of my friends have passed. His wife had passed about, I think my Aunt Jean died about 13 years ago at least with Parkinson's. And here he was alone, getting older. This past year, he was very sick. The pneumonia came, pneumonia hardly ever went. And got to the point here in the last month that he couldn't even talk on the phone with just a few words without gasping for breath. He had said multiple times, I just wish the Lord would take me on. I'm ready. At 90 years of age, most of his friends, and now all of his brothers, his last brother passed at around Christmas time, there was nobody else left. And so people in that situation, yes, they long for heaven. But I would say that we too need to consider heaven more than we do. We certainly need to consider hell. We talked about that last week. But if you're here today and you know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, we have something very great to look forward to.
Amen.
And if you're not sure that you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, today is the day you need to nail that down.
Amen.
But I want us to look at and spend some time thinking about heaven. What does God say about heaven? What do we know from His Word of what heaven is going to be like? We need to be thinking about it. And as I think about it and consider heaven, there's four things that came to my mind. And I'd like to share those with you this morning. Father, I pray that as we pause here to look into your word, that you would guide us in our thoughts. Help me, Lord, to share very clearly the truth of your word and this great experience that we're looking forward to, what you have prepared for us. Lord, as it sometimes is beyond our imagination, Father, we also know that there are some things that you have made very clear, and I pray that you would help us to understand and to receive those things. And Lord, it would be an appetizer of thought that we would leave from here today and contemplate heaven more clearly and more often. For we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Excuse me just for a moment. My mouth is cotton. Than like cold water. First thing I want you to see this morning is that heaven is a glorious place. Throughout Scripture, there are descriptions that God has given us of this dwelling place that we're going to have in heaven. It's been talked about as being a great light, a great beauty, transparent gold. It is full of precious stones that reflect God's glory. It's a place of peace, a place of acceptance, of enjoyment, of comfort, and fulfillment. What's not to like? As we think about heaven, it's got everything that we would ever desire. In heaven, we're going to see Christ's glory. In John 17:24, it says, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to be there, and he says, I want you to be there with me to behold my glory. Heaven is full of a glorious Jesus Christ. Heaven is also where we'll find that we have a glorious mansion. John 14, 1 through 3, you remember that passage? As Jesus was speaking with his disciples and the end of chapter 13, He told him, he said, I'm going to be leaving you. I'm going to be going, and you can't follow me right now. I said, Lord, where are you going? You know, they didn't understand. They began to be a little concerned. And he said in chapter 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. That mansion that he has prepared for us, I'm going to explain about that more in just a few minutes. But we have a glorious mansion in this heaven, this glorious place. We also have a place of unimaginable wonder. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, we're told, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. We read that verse quite often, and we think about, you know, we can't imagine fully. You know, there's a song, I Can Only Imagine. And we can try to do that, but we can't really fathom all that God has in store for us there. And the next few verses after what I just read talks about, but he has revealed certain things to us that we can see in his word, and we're to take advantage of that, and we're to know that the best that we can. But then all that we can study, all that we can read, all that we can hear and seek to imagine of heaven cannot fulfill what it's all about. There's a song that I like. It's entitled, I Could Sing About Heaven. And it's from a group called A Few Good Men. And here's what it says. It says, there's a promised land untouched by man, prepared for the saved and the blessed. A city built four square far away somewhere as a home for the saints to rest. So many have tried, but they couldn't describe all the beauties on that bright shore. For it's never entered into the hearts of men what the Father has in store. I could sing about heaven for a million years and never get the story told. Of the jasper walls and the gates of pearl and the streets made of pure gold. Even John the Revelator in his heavenly vision could never really say what he saw. I could sing about heaven for a million years, and still I could never tell it all. How true it is. Whether we're looking at John the Revelator in the book of Revelation that I've asked you to turn to, or whether we're looking at other descriptions that are there, we can look at all and compile all of the information that we have about heaven and still not have a full picture of what it's going to be like. Heaven is a glorious place because it is filled with a glorious God. And that is so true. Number two, the second thing is that heaven is a comforting place. A comforting place. Again, and there are many descriptions of God's heaven that we have as a place of rest and of comfort. A few examples of some of these, as well as the why that it gives. Why is it comforting? If you remember last Sunday in a message that I got get brought to you about hell, in Luke chapter 16, verses 20 through 25, you remember the rich man that died, and also a man named Lazarus that died, not the one that Jesus raised back from the dead, but it's another Lazarus. Both of these men died, and the scripture says that in paradise there, the other side of the compartment of hell, in the center of the earth at that time, he said that Lazarus was comforted in Abraham's bosom. It was a place of comfort. Of course, I explained to you how that after the resurrection, Jesus Christ took those that were in paradise and took them to what we now understand and call third heaven. And that's the abode of God, and that's where Christ is. And for us today to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. It is a comforting place that we have. Here in Revelation, we have another passage with a great promise of comfort. As you turn to Revelation 21, this is where Daryl read for us this morning, but just look at primarily verses 3 and 4. It says, I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, and neither sorrow, nor crying, and neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. We have a list right there, and we look through that, and we say, if those of you that are getting older, those of you that have been in pain, those of you that have had heartaches and broken with things in your life, we look and say, oh, won't that be the day that those former things will be gone? And it will not be any more dying. There will not be any more crying. There will not be any more suffering. There will not be any more pain. There will not be any more of those type of things, because those things came in and about because of sin. And as we look at what God is going to have for us there, it's going to be a place where that will not exist. And we have that great promise that is given to us. Why is it going to be this great place of comfort? As I quoted just a moment ago out of 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 17 and 18, it tells us that at the rapture of the church, it says, and so shall we ever be with the Lord, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Because we're going to be with the Lord, we can have that comfort. We know where he is, and we know that we shall be with him. From the day of our death until the rapture of the church, whichever comes first, until the eternity future complete, we shall be with the Lord. And we can comfort each other with those words. And with that in mind, heaven is a comforting place, because heaven is a place where the ambassador is home. What do I mean by that? Who is the ambassador? Say, I am, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Matter of fact, I'm going to tell you this. There'll be a quiz later. 2 Corinthians is my favorite, one of my favorite Bible passages or Bible chapters in the New Testament. Okay? One day I'm going to ask you, what is Pastor Blackwell's favorite New Testament chapter? And you're going to say, 2 Corinthians 5. He's made it clear. Okay. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20, we're ambassadors for Christ, it says. We are what is an ambassador? It's a representative of a foreign diplomat, a foreign authority, and we are representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're representatives of God the Father. We're representatives of heaven, because this world is not where our home is. Heaven is our citizenship, is in heaven, and that's our home. You heard the song, this world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And that's so true, that we have this heaven as our home. We are an ambassador, and the ambassador will be home. And because of that, there's great rejoicing. There's another song, it says, but just think of stepping on shore and finding it heaven. Touching a hand and finding it's God's. Of breathing new air and finding it celestial, of waking up in glory and finding its home. That's the day that we're looking forward to, that when we shall be with him in glory. Heaven, our eternal home, it is a glorious place, and it is a comforting place with our comforting Heavenly Father. Then thirdly, I want you to see that heaven's a rewarding place. Many see heaven itself as a reward, and certainly it is. But beyond that, there are many other rewards that are reserved for us in heaven. The Bible speaks of crowns and rewards that will be given to the faithful. It speaks of us casting our crowns at our Savior's feet. Wouldn't it be a shame for us to be there empty-handed? We need to be found faithful, not by man, but by God himself. And we ought to be living for that purpose. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. It should be our goal.
there will be crowns, there will be rewards. Turn with me over to 1 Peter chapter 1. There is also going to be, as the scripture tells us, that we are going to be joint heirs with Christ. We're going to have an inheritance in heaven there for us. And while you're turning to 1 Peter 1, Romans 8 and verse 17 says, if we're children, if we're a child of God, then we're heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. We are an heir of God. He is our Father. We are a child of God. Jesus Christ, we are joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 3, he says, blessed be the God of and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again. All right? Begotten, born. Again, we're born again unto what? A lively hope. The word lively has to do with living. So we have been born again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Because Jesus died and rose again from the dead, we can, what we say, be saved. We're born again. And we're born again into a living hope, not a hope that's dead. Not only is it living hope, but it's a hope of living. It's a hope of eternal life that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it goes on to say, we have that living, lively hope by the resurrection of Christ from the dead to an inheritance. We're saved to an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled. And that fadeth not away, it's lasting, is reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We have an inheritance, God says, that it is reserved in heaven for us. Who's us? Those that have trusted Christ. Us who are kept by the power of God. You know, Paul said, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I've committed the keeping of my soul for all eternity. That's what took place at salvation. And he is the one that saved me. He's the one that keeps me saved. I couldn't do anything to gain my salvation. I can't do anything to lose my salvation. Some people tremble at that thought and think, oh, you shouldn't tell people that because they'll just go out and live like they want to. Well, let me tell you something. If people just go out and live like they want to, it doesn't matter how much they claim to be saved. The proof is in the pudding. Amen. The proof is in the actions. By their fruit, you shall know them. By the evidences of how they live. The song that Adrian and the group, Lauren and Leo sang, I'm changed. When Jesus Christ came, he changed everything. And so if there's genuine salvation, there's going to be the works that will follow that, proving that our faith is genuine. And if a person says, I've trusted Jesus Christ, but goes out and continues to live as they want to, I'm not interested in what God says. I'm not interested in reading to find out. I'm not interested in him changing my life. I want to live like I want to. I just don't want to go to hell. It doesn't work that way. Genuine salvation comes from a genuine faith, and that faith will be followed by works that show that it's real. A changed life. God is working on us. And so don't be scared of that fact. We are kept by the power of God. If we're genuinely saved, we're genuinely kept, and we have an inheritance from our Father. We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We also will be rewarded with full knowledge. I'm not talking about omniscient. Only God is omniscient, has all knowledge. But we're going to have full knowledge. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 12, it says, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. How does God know me? What does God know about me? What does God know about you?
Yeah, I heard it out there. The word starts with an E. It's called everything.
He knows everything there is to know about me. He created me in my mom's womb. He designed me before I ever started to grow. He determined that I was going to be 6'1" tall. He determined that I was going to have corrective lenses. He determined what color my hair would start out to be and what color it would end up being, how much of it would be there. He determined all of those things. God knows me completely. And he says, one day I will know, as even as I am known, I will have a full knowledge, God says. He is going to do that for us. We shall be rewarded with knowledge. And then we're going to be rewarded, as I mentioned earlier, with that mansion in glory. There is a quoted in John 14, 1 through 3, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'd go to prepare a place for you. And so here's this mansion in glory. And some people have this vision that when I get to heaven, you know, it's going to sit on the left side up there with great big white columns and all. You know, wait a minute there. That's not the kind of mansion I believe that he is talking about. Again, if you'll turn to my most favorite chapter. 2 Corinthians, y'all got it, right? My most favorite chapter. In our most favorite chapter, in the first verse of it, in 2 Corinthians 5, it says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved..." Let's stop there. All right, he speaks of this earthly house of this tabernacle. Tabernacle is a tent, okay? It's a temporary dwelling place. How many of y'all have been tent camping before? Somebody out there been tent camping. I used to go tent camping. I don't like to go tent camping anymore for several reasons. One, it doesn't have a bathroom real close by for the middle of the night runs. But anyway, there's this temporary dwelling place that we have of this tabernacle. If it were dissolved, if I were to die, if this body were to die, it says, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. I've got a mansion that's in glory. Now, what is this temporary tabernacle, this temporary dwelling place that I have here? It's this body. And so my mansion, this dwelling, this house that I have of God is also a dwelling place for my soul. It's going to be a glorified body. In comparison to this temporary body, it's a mansion.
Amen.
It's glorious.
Hallelujah.
It's likened to Christ's glorified body that he had. And so we have this mansion in glory. What's it going to be like over in Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21? It says, "For our conversation is in heaven." We talk about our dwelling place, our citizenship, our behavior as a citizen of heaven. "Our conversation, our citizenship is in heaven, from where we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body," this body of lowliness, "that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." God is going to take at my death, or at the rapture of the church, rather, he's going to take my body and make it like unto his glorious body. If I die before the Lord Jesus Christ comes back at the rapture, and I were to lay in a casket here in this church, let me make sure you understand, I'm not going to be here. I'm going to be there. And I don't need this body of flesh anymore, because I'll have something much greater. And that's the heaven that we are looking forward to. It's a rewarding place. Heaven is a rewarding place. And heaven also, finally, is a rejoicing place. And there's going to be joy and rejoicing because we're going to be reunited with some loved ones when we get there. I look forward to that time. I have a child. Never saw this life. But that conceived child, I believe, is in heaven. Wait. My parents, Vicky's parents, friends that have gone before me, cousins that have gone before me. I'll be able to see those one day, be reunited with them. King David, you remember his sin with a woman named Bathsheba? It produced an offspring, a child that was born. God judged his sin, and part of that judgment was, he said, this child is going to die. King David made a statement in 2 Samuel 12:23. He says, he shall not return unto me, but I shall go unto him. Indicating that we one day will be with those that have gone before us. We have that to look forward to. And one of the greatest joys and one of the greatest loved ones that we have is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I believe more than seeing my family or seeing my friends or anyone else, I'm going to want to see my Savior's face.
Amen.
For heaven is a wonderful place. That's who has made it all the difference. Yet too often we don't contemplate, we don't consider what heaven is and what it offers. Jesus will be there and we will be with him. To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord.
Amen.
We are and can be rejoicing for that. So my question to you this morning is, are you going there? Is that where you're headed? I pray that that would be true of every person in here, genuinely true, that you have made a choice to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, and that one day, whether by death or by rapture, and either one can happen at any moment, that we would be in the presence of the Lord. I pray that that would be your situation. That you truly know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And if you don't, if that's not what would happen to you, or you're unsure, then why not make it sure today? It happens by first believing. We've got to believe that we have a need. Nobody is ever going to turn to a remedy without first knowing they got a need. What is that need? I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. We all have sin. And that sin has a penalty, for the wages of sin is death. And because of that sin penalty, God says, the holy God that must punish sin says that you must die, I must die, and go to hell for all eternity to pay for our sin debt. But because God is a loving God, he sent his only begotten Son into this world, Jesus Christ, born and lived perfectly and died as a substitute for my payment and your payment. God loved us enough to do that. Jesus loved us enough to lay down his life for us. And all we need to do then is receive the gift of eternal life that he has made possible. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What do you do with a gift when it is offered to you freely? You simply need to accept it. That's what salvation is. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, the children of God, even to them that believed on his name. We're to believe, and we're then to make a choice to receive Jesus Christ.
That's all it is. And when we genuinely do that, God begins to do a work in us. He doesn't just change our address, our home, to heaven, but He starts making us more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why it's important to be in a good church that teaches and preaches the Word of God, both from the pulpit and from the classes, with our youth ministry, etc., that you learn what God's Word says, because you can't do what you don't know. I encourage you with that. Stay diligent to learn. Those that are saved, let me say this. Unfortunately, there are some Christians that spend more time contemplating their summer vacation and what they're going to do than they do contemplating heaven. That's sad. My encouragement for you today is that this message would remind you of how much we have to look forward to, and that you would begin to contemplate that and what God has prepared for you, and not just have it as a side thought. Consider heaven. I know this world is busy, and sometimes there are great hardships, but heaven is going to be worth it all.
Amen.
I'm going to close the service a little differently than I normally do. Instead of having an invitation where we invite you to respond down the altar, I'm going to say this. We're going to sing a song in just a moment, but instead of it being inviting you to respond that way, I'll invite you that if you need to speak to me about salvation, I'll be glad to talk to you after the service. When you come up to me, just say, hey, can we talk just for a minute? And I'll know that's what you want to talk about, and we'll take some time and do that. But for right now, there's a song that I want us to sing together. It's going to be up here on the screen for you. It's just the chorus part of this song. When we see Christ, it will be worth it all. Do you believe that? All the heartaches, all the trials, all the suffering. And it may even come into the point where we have to live through some persecution as well. I'm not talking about laughing at you when you're standing up for Christ, but I'm talking about possibility of jail time. I'm talking about possibility of different, not being able to promote in your company, or not being able to even get a job that you may want. I mean, it could come to that. We're not guaranteed that America will continue to stand so freely. There's too many people in our world today that are looking at Christians as being an infection, a virus that needs to be gotten rid of. And I pray that we don't have to see that personally, but I'm not guaranteed that it won't. But whatever we have to endure in this life, as we consider heaven, please remember it will be worth it all. Let's stand together as we sing it, please. Place, but heaven is a place that we ought to be considering on a regular basis, because God has done so much in preparing for us. Thank you for being here with us today. We're going to be dismissed in prayer as we go. Frank, would you mind to lead us in prayer as we close the service here? God bless you.